Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. I am joined today by Patrick Floyd and Betty Walters. We are discussing Carolyn Floyd's life and legacy here in Kodiak. I understand that the funeral was today. How was the service, Patrick?
Oh, it was beautiful. Thanks for having me. Yeah, we had a beautiful service this morning at about 9 a.m., just family with everything going on in town. Of course, we had a small family service. We plan to try to pull things together this summer, try to have an outdoor celebration, maybe at the Buskin River, you know, house or out the road at Fort Abercrombie. But it was beautiful. And then we later to rest at around 10 o'clock this morning. So it was a nice service, and people, you know, shared a lot of well wishes, and family spoke, and it was just perfect.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us, and I really appreciate you taking the time here to come and join us on what I can imagine is a very emotional day for you.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll pass this to you, Patrick, first. Your parents came here to Kodiak before Alaska was a state. What brought them here, and what was Kodiak like back then?
Yeah, so, Mom was born in 1933. Dad was 1930. Dad spent some time in the military, and they met in Oregon. And they were married. Mom was born in Milton, Freewater, Oregon, and grew up in Gresham, went to Gresham Union High School and graduated in 1950. And then they were married in 1955 there in Vancouver, Washington. And I remember when my son played in the state, they won senior league, little league state. They had their regional tournament in Vancouver, Washington, and Dad just really wanted to go. And I was like, why do you want? Well, he wanted to go visit him and Mom wanted to visit their old church that they were married in. And so they moved up in 1955, drove the Alcan, and took a ton of pictures. They were so excited. And, you know, Mom was open to any type of adventure, you know, at that time. And you just can't imagine. I mean, they're going up Alaska wasn't even a state. In fact, we found a certificate the other day, and I've, you know, some of the families have shared pictures. I know Terry Molly, you know, family has a similar certificate, basically saying they had voted in the very first presidential election, you know. Alaska was new, obviously. You know, they were here for the tidal wave and in 64, and, you know, Dad, one thing, it was kind of fun, Mom and Dad would, you know, they didn't own boats, they didn't own trailers and, you know, different type of equipment like that. But the one thing that is kind of funny, they owned a camera and a video camera. And they took tons of pictures and tons of videotape of those days of when we lived down on Mission Road, on Erdahl Loop there, you know, during in the 50s and 60s and into the 70s before moving to our house on Madsen. And, it was just such a different time. And they just made an impact right away, got involved in teaching. You know, the one thing about Mom that I had most admired was her ability to, you know, continue with education and furthering herself, you know, at this time. And she would take classes during the summer back at Ole Miss and during the summer, and then she would do correspondence on a typewriter. It wasn't like today where you could, you know, do something online and pick it up and be done with it. You have to mail out your assignments. You have to type them. You have to finish them. And she finished her master's degree on, you know, through summer correspondence and through Ole Miss summers. And so, but it was quite a time. And to think about somebody that held, you know, traditional values at home, but yet became such a visionary, such a, you know, a glass ceiling breaker like Betty Walters, who's also on this, you know, just amazing people in the journey that they made. It's hard to understand. And me being 5 years younger than Scott, 6 years behind Max, and then my oldest sister, Virginia, 10 years, it's hard to understand that journey and the impact that they made, that's for sure, and how they did it and had the energy and enthusiasm to follow through with it all is quite a story, quite a journey.
So, Patrick, I want to ask you as well about your mother's background in education. Why did she become a teacher here?
You know, I think she was just a natural, and it was something that she always, you know, enjoyed doing. It was just part of her her being, I believe, and it was her calling, and she just was comfortable with it. You know, my dad's mother was a teacher. You know, her family, you know, mom had some challenges growing up with, but she was always a good student. When I talked to her brother, George Dury, who lives in Cheney, Washington, he's been a professor at Eastern Washington, you know, for I think up to 35, 38 years now, and he's retired, of course, but, you know, that mom was always top of her class, always, you know, a great student, sitting up front type of person, and I think she just continued with that and found her calling in education and teaching and especially in business, and started off, you know, the future business club there at Kodiak High School. And, you know, I pulled up old yearbooks back in the 60s, and there's mom, you know, sponsoring a club with students, and it's pretty amazing, you know, what she accomplished at that young age in a short time.
So I'm going to pass this to Betty now. I want to ask you, what was education like back then on the island, and how did Carolyn work to change that?
Actually, I've been here since 1977, but I can tell you that Carolyn, as
Let's turn the microphone towards you a little
bit. Carolyn, as a teacher, actually was concerned not only about herself and her own self-improvement, but her students. She wanted something beyond high school for them. And that's how we got to the transition to Kodiak College. So Kodiak College already existed when I got here, but it started with Carolyn in the high school, teaching the classes and going through the entire accreditation process to make Kodiak then Community College what it was and what it became. What happened was, by the time I got here, they already had acquired the land, which was Carolyn's doing, and the building. And so there was one building, nothing else, just the one building out there. They still use the high school for any technical or vocational, then called vocational, now career tech. But basically, that was all encompassed in that existing building that you see right now when you on the right-hand side. She was concerned that there wasn't something beyond high school for kids here in this community. And that's how we got to that point. The interesting thing is that Carolyn was at our 50th anniversary for the college in April of 2019. And so think about that and how long she had been masterful at just making that work and then training the people who were with her. I was only an adjunct for her. I was teaching at the high school. But the people like Charlotte Hatfield, who ran the library, Carol Hagel, Francis Cater, many people who she influenced to move often from the school district to the college as full-time employees and just make that work. Gary Stevens is an example of one who was there from somewhere before I was, so maybe 75, let's say, and teaching out there. It's just, it's amazing what is available for students now here in our community who can finish their associate's degree, go on, and still have the support of Kodiak College for their bachelor's degree, their master's degree, some earning their PhD through the university. So the college has Carolyn at the front of that.
Right. Well, joining us now, we have Terry Haynes. Let's check your microphone, Terry. How are you doing?
Uh-oh.
Let's try number 7 that's next to you.
How about number 7?
That works. That's a winner.
Sounds better?
Well, I can actually hear you, and I couldn't hear you on number 10.
How's my level?
You look great. So I'll be turning it to you, Terry, in a moment, but I want to pass this back to Patrick. Your mother eventually wound up in local politics. Do you remember a time when she decided to become involved on that level, and what was her motivation for doing so?
You know, I remember Mom when she retired, I believe in 87, from the college. And, you know, it was kind of like she was retiring. She was, you know, she was done. But so she would be walking a lot with Dad, who was retired in 81. and they would walk a lot. And I remember she ran it. Was it Pat Bronson, Betty?
Pat Bronson. Yes.
Bronson had talked with her and said, "Hey, you know, are you interested in getting involved?" And Mom was just fresh off getting retired. You know, that celebration and closure of finishing out a career. And she said, "Talk to me in a year." Well, she came back in a year, almost to the day, it sounded like, from what Mom described later on, that said, "Hey, are you ready?" And she said, "Sure, you know, I'll do it." And I remember having conversations with Mom in the living room and kind of, you know, "Mom, you sure you want to do this? What do you think? You know, that's going to a lot more responsibility. You know, you're retired now. You can enjoy yourself." And you know, like, what's your platform going to be? And she just, I'll just never forget, she just said, the people of Kodiak, you know, all the different cultures. And she started there as kind of her base and then obviously expanded to all different kinds of, you know, issues and platforms from there. But it was surprising. And I remember just being so proud. And we all are. I mean, gosh, when we would run into somebody, you know, and we're California where I live, or my brother Max, who's in North Carolina, brother Scott down in Pensacola, Florida, Virginia, over in Cordova, we were just so proud to say our mom's the mayor. Our mom's the mayor of Kodiak. And, you know, 18 years later, you know, she put in that time and, you know, going through election. But it was just an honor. And you know, I don't remember her ever really, but I think with just her being, you know, being part of the college and rubbing shoulders with so many, you know, people and influence, you know, I think she just kind of, it was a natural progression to take that next step to be involved. And, you know, Duncan Fields talks about it, you know, quite a bit where, hey, yeah, we're getting up in age, but you're not done. You need to stay involved in your community, stay involved in giving back, you know, even though you're retired, you need to continue. So, you know, all that was there. But yeah, I mean, it was just an honor, and we were proud as a family to always say our mom's the mayor of Kodiak Island, you know.
So now I'm going to pass it to Terry, who is joining us. Terry is a member of KMXT as a staff member and also a longtime city council member who has served as a city council member during the time that Carolyn Floyd was mayor, correct?
Yes, that's right. That's how I knew Carolyn Floyd, was as Madam Mayor.
I wanted to ask you, what was she like as mayor? What was it like working with her on the city council? And how was she involved in getting you involved?
Well, she encouraged me. I don't think without Mayor Floyd's encouragement and that of council member Charlie Davidson, I don't think I ever would have thought to be involved in the city council. But I'd been in front of the city council a few times to give comment. And she put it straight to me. She said, have you ever thought of getting involved in city government? And I had never had. But she was very encouraging, and I don't think I would have taken that step without that encouragement of she and council member Davidson. And I know I'm not the only one. Longtime council member Gabriel Sarabia often said that he never would have thought to be a council member if Mayor Floyd hadn't come right up to him and said, "Gabe, have you ever thought of being on the city council?" And he said flat right out, "No way, I don't think that I could ever do that." And she insisted that he could, and she was right. She was a fantastic representative for the city of Kodiak. She had that perfect personality. And if that was her in retirement, I don't know what she must have been like when she was on the job. But she had that great, the perfect personality in that she was insistently pleasant. There's just no way you could knock her off her attitude. And, you know, a lot of the times she would answer stuff simply by saying, "Yes," with this most encouraging way. But on the same hand, she was very insistent. She was a very hard person to say no to. She would just come in and very pleasantly start to talk about what was important to her. And she was already very well known in the state of Alaska when I started serving on the city council. And it was really something to go into a room with her. She would come in with her little posse behind her. And everybody from the state government to the federal senators, they all come out to say hi to Mayor Floyd because she's just so nice. You know, of course you're going to come out and say hi to her. And the next thing they know, they'd be talking about our boat harbor infrastructure needs. In fact, I remember once, this was just so Mayor Floyd, We were at Washington, D.C., and we were there with a group of other people from Alaska, Anchorage and places like that. And we were about to take a couple of taxis, because there was a number of us there, to the Senate office building to see Senator Murkowski. And we were about to go to the taxis, and Mayor Floyd said, "Oh, no, 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 we don't want to take taxis." And she herded the whole group of us over to where there was this line of, like, town cars and Suburbans parked, all black. And she sort of sized everybody up, and she walked right up to this one fella leaning on a black Suburban, and she quickly negotiated a cut rate price for all of us to drive us all to the Senate office building. And so we all piled in, and Mayor Floyd got in the front seat, and we're just going along, and we're driving pell-mell through. Usually in Washington, D.C., traffic is bad enough. This guy was driving like a nut, and he's just going, weaving in between cars, and I realized that, of course, he has to get back to the hotel before the person who's his real client realizes he's gone or he's going to lose his job. So he is driving incredibly fast through traffic. And of course, Mayor Floyd starts to chat him up. You know, she starts to talk to him, and he starts to get very comfortable. And next thing you know, he's telling us all his life story. He's leaning over the back seat, looking at us and making these gestures and stuff. And we're like, "Boy, please pay attention to the road." And Mayor Floyd's in the front seat, just enjoying the ride, going weaving through traffic. And sure enough, that guy delivered us to that Senate office building way in front of everybody else. We got the first meeting with the senator, and then he roared off into traffic afterward. But it was just such a Mayor Floyd way she was perfectly pleasant, and she herded us all and got it all done.
She also had a lot of respect from the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska. So much so that they chose Kodiak for one of their meetings while she was still here. And the library eventually was named after Carolyn, but the important part is they presented her with an honorary doctorate from the University of Alaska. And that's just probably what she felt was her highest gain. She had earned so many degrees and certificates and the like at that point that she was very, very proud of what UA did.
Another question I wanted to ask you, Betty. Carolyn encouraged many people to seek positions of leadership and in politics, as we've just heard from Terry. Patrick earlier characterized her as a breaker of glass ceilings. I wanted to ask you, she also encouraged many women to seek positions of administrative leadership and political leadership. How would you characterize her in that regard?
Absolutely. I would say from my own personal experience that she was one of the people who was very encouraging. When I was just thinking about and applying for administration at the middle school, then junior high, and then encouraged me continually because she knew I was always going back to school, you know, and what was I doing and how was that going? And it was with everyone. It wasn't just me. It was some teacher who was just exploring something through the college that she had planned for us. Just classes coming in from the university, guest presentations and the like. She always was looking at the men and especially at the women because there were very few of us in administration at that point in time.
And I'd say that's a very much a lasting legacy, considering that we have now, I believe, the first female speaker.
Assembly.
That, and a speaker for the Alaska State House. And as well, she's been followed up by a female mayor, as well as the college. The current director of the college is also a woman.
Right.
So,
and interesting, the school district and the college has always had a great relationship of working together, obviously because of Carolyn. But Noreen Thompson was the assistant superintendent and then the superintendent around the time that I arrived. So she was right there pushing everyone to do whatever it was as the next step.
So I'm going to pass it back now to Patrick. Many people in Kodiak knew Carolyn as a prominent member of the community, but to you, she was family. So for people who don't know her as Mom, what are some memories that you can share of her for us?
You know, for Mom, to me, you know, and Betty and Ari, they all, you know, kind of speak and see her as that professional. And I remember going from East Elementary in the morning and and finishing up class and then walking over to the college just so I can get a Milky Way and sit with mom. But I would watch her, you know, and watch her interactions and interpersonal relationships with her staff. But, you know, to mom, for us, she was just mom. I mean, that's what was so hard. You know, those traditional values at home that you wouldn't know that she was balancing a lot on her shoulders. And you know, we rarely ever went out to eat. We always ate at home, and mom would make meals, you know, and we would go on our summer trip consisted of sports camps, and we would bring not just me and Max and Scott in Virginia, but we would bring five or six Kodiak kids to attend baseball camp in Missouri, or Lenny Wilkins or Northwest basketball camp in Washington, wrestling camp in Colorado, and mom would just load up the truck and we would drive the Alcan with everybody all the way back home. I mean, I had stated before, like, she was the team mom before that word or phrase would ever even been invented. And so to be able to also have the same vision as dad in regards to, you know, sports and community and, you know, she would be in the morning, not only have the break, but then she's on her typewriter typing up the article for the Kodiak Daily Mirror, because they had to put in the little dribbler scores, and dad would list, you know, everybody's name, and mom would be in there typing it away so that it could be easily submitted and get into that paper that evening, you know, that afternoon. So, you know, and every night she would, you know, when we would call on Sundays, and that's kind of a Floyd thing, and we just to check in, and she would always finish it with, "I love you, sweet." She would, you know, when she would send us birthday cards, obviously first thing I would look for was that $20 bill. But if even without the toy, she would have the poem inside, and she would underline all of the important parts of the poem that she wanted you to absorb and to just know how much she loved you, you know. And I think that carried over to the grandkids. And one of mom's most famous phrases, and my brother Max still has it up on the mantle in his house in court in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And because the kids would sometimes, you know, she had 12 grandkids. So sometimes they'd be all in the house at the same time. It's chaos. But grandma loved it. And they would be sometimes have a little problem. And mom would say, "You know what? Floyd's help each other out. Now go over there and help out your cousin." And it was just that phrase of, we always look out for one another. We always help each other out. And what I always come back to is how real she was, how enthusiastic, but how positive she was. I mean, heck, I wasn't a very good wrestler. Max Scott, they were awesome wrestlers. And I would get pinned. And I'd come home, and she goes, "You know what? You're okay. You're in basketball shape, Patrick. You're not in wrestling shape. You need to get in wrestling shape, and you'll be okay." So in other words, you know, the glass is always half full. And that's that positivity. You knew you were going to be okay. Mom was going to support you. She was your number one cheerleader. But she was just mom to us. You know, this whole, you know, Betty talking to Terry, you know, all that political, all that community college world that she lived in, I didn't know much about it. I learned a lot about it. I see these certificates on the wall, these plaques on the wall, and recognitions all over the house and in folders and, you know, in drawers at the house. But to us, it was just mom's home. All right. All right. Let's all, you know, visit. It was just, it was that, just that real person and a mom that just, you knew, loved you and wasn't afraid to say it. Wasn't ever afraid to say it.
And Patrick, that outcome, that outpouring of love and concern was community-wide. She had all of us in her vision. You know, obviously family was first. But that whole piece about being familiar with basketball and wrestling and track and cross-country and everything else, she never missed a beat. She was at everything. And I mean, I had the pep club after your father convinced me that it was a year-round activity, not just basketball. But she was there. She was at everything.
Yeah.
You know, I think she and Coach Floyd were just so good at encouraging you to be that best version of yourself. You know, sometimes I think on the city council, you know, it's easy to break down and get and really kind of act childish. But I think sometimes decorum was maintained just because we didn't want to disappoint Mayor Floyd.
You know? That's exactly right.
Well, we've got about 5 minutes left in our show, about 4 or 5 minutes. So if either you, Patrick, or you, Betty, would like to chip in with a story about Carolyn, I'd be very happy to hear it here.
Absolutely. I was just thinking about the women, and I'm thinking about, I don't know how she did this. I don't know how she got Linda Freed to move from the borough to the city to be the city manager. But that was a coup. I mean, it was great. And then I'm sure that she just continued to push that and push that. And then we had Amy Kunesowski. You know, the women were throughout the entire community. It wasn't just school district. It wasn't just Kodiak College. Absolutely so much influence on, and influence on men too. I mean, she probably did a great amount of work with men just trying to keep Joe Floyd under control, you know. So that was her best effort there. And we would laugh sitting in the bleachers. I mean, we would just laugh at the fact that Joe was running around and doing all sorts of things, regardless of what his title was or retired. He was still in there. And she was there to support him as he was to support her. Amazing couple.
Yeah, just a great team, you know. And I, to carry over on that, they just complemented each other. And I think that legacy, and Duncan, you know, Fields spoke to it, you know, in 100 years from now, you know, you may see that their names are still kind of, you know, as people that were contributed a lot, obviously, to Kodiak. But I see it as those grandbabies, those girls in our family, because, you know, we had DJ Vinberg today. We had Pete Olson and Duncan Fields and Craig Johnson, you know, pallbearers along with the. But you know what, if in normal times, if everything was, you know, where we could have the entire family, you know, from all over the country and all those grandkids here, what a powerful statement to have Virginia, my sister, with her daughter Leisha and all those nieces, you know, carry that casket out the church, and, you know, just showing how strong mom was and the influence and legacy that she leaves behind. Would have been so powerful, but, you know, it couldn't happen during this time. But we're hoping to try to pull something together in July, if I can convince the brothers and sisters to get together in July, and maybe we hold off on a little sport fishing and spend some time, you know, celebrating mom and really give her, you know, what she deserves and has earned. And it's, you know, you look at the generation, and I call it, you know, we're still in the middle of the greatest generation, in my opinion, the Kodiak greatest generation, and we just need to celebrate and honor all those people that have come before us, and you know, so it's just something that I think could be, or hopefully will be, a priority this summer.
And Patrick, speaking of women who just are influenced by your mother and your dad, mm-hmm. we're very, very grateful to have Tara Cupp in our community. She just did a wonderful job with both of your parents.
Yeah, she sacrifices so much to take care of them, and she was amazing, absolutely amazing, 24/7 amazing, and constant communication with family, and, you know, it just made it so much comforting, so much more comforting. And Tara, for that last part of her life, yeah.
Right. And Tara made sure that both were at the 50th anniversary of Kodiak College.
And we got pictures to show it.
Well, I want to thank you both so very much for coming on, and Terry Haynes as well, who's currently about to take over the broadcast. This has been another episode of KMXT 100.1 FM's Talk of the Rock. I was your host today, Dylan Samar. We were discussing Carolyn Floyd's life and legacy here in Kodiak, and joining me were Terry Haynes, Patrick Floyd, and Betty Walters. Thank you all for coming on.
Thank you, Dylan.
All right. Thank you, Dylan.
Thanks.